Danny and Dusty.
All right, my rock smashes your scissors.
No, not these scissors, pal. This is a special titanium steel alloy developed by NASA for the space program. These scissors that smash and rock to smithereens.
No, not this rock. This rock happens to be kryptonite.
With the latest on the Blazers, Ducks, Beavers, and the hottest topics in sports.
Hey, what's happening, Norm?
It's a dog-eat-dog world, Sammy, and I'm wearing milk-bone underwear.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
No!
The Fan.
Hour number two, Danny and Dusty with you on this Tuesday afternoon. Thank you for being a part of our day and letting us be a part of yours, whether it is on 1080 AM, 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app, 1080thefan.com, twitch.tv/1080thefan, or you sickos on YouTube, youtube.com/1080amthefan. Party on, party people on the YouTube stream. Great start to the day already. Look. We're cruising already.
Today has flown by.
We've already given you five rules of people that you don't want to fight. Okay.
We had clarification on one of them.
Yeah. We have cauliflower ear, big forearms, Balkan and or Polynesian fellers. You have drywallers. Mm-hmm. And then the Chevy Cavalier driver.
Yeah.
This text came in during last segment. I was a proud Chevy Cavalier owner. Learned to drive on that bad boy. FYI, no radio or side mirror. Jason Sukanik.
Hey!
Big Suk was a Chevy Cavalier owner, and that goes back to the, they got nothing to lose. You're probably going to get beat up by them, right? I mean, that he fits the mold of exactly what we're talking about with the Chevy Cavalier. So, there you have it. Don't do that. Mm. Don't do that. Not so fast, my friend. Something that we're going to have to get to at some point. I heard promotions goddess Tara out there. Mm-hmm. Her phone rang. She has a ringtone still.
Oh?
Yeah. 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 Harry Styles. The dun 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 dun.
I got ringtones.
You got ringtones?
Yeah. And some of them vary based on who's calling me.
Yeah. I know we hear from time to time the shaklackety.
Yep, that's my text.
That's your text that come through.
Yeah. But what, my regular ringtone, it's George Costanza's answering machine.
I can't tell you the last time. Really?
Yeah.
I can't tell you the last time I had a ringtone. I can't tell you the last time my phone wasn't on vibrate.
When my daughter calls, it's Adam Sandler's. It's the hoagies and grinders, hoagies and grinders.
Okay.
Oaf sandwich.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're still a big ringtone guy. Do you have ringtones on your phone?
My wife, it's the Imperial Death March from Star Wars.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. No. So one time when I was flying back and forth to the Middle East, I had a layover in England. And in my hotel room, this was 2004, I think. If you think the commercials here for ringtones were bad, do you remember those commercials?
Yeah, you've told the story. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was nothing but those ringtone commercials for like 5 hours.
Yeah.
And ever since that moment, I was like, no, never, never again will I ever, 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 ever have a ringtone on my phone.
Yeah, there was
it broke me.
There was a time in my life where, like Rust, everybody had their own ringtone. Mm-hmm. But then I just said, oh, vibrate works just as good.
Totally fine.
And I can ignore people and that's fine. You know, I have an out. Phone's on vibrate. Nope, sorry. I think my phone has been on vibrate for a decade now.
The only time.
Probably a decade.
I will take it off vibrate is if I have it out of my pocket on the table and I'm expecting a call that I know that I want to answer. Let's say I'm working on something.
Mm-hmm.
Just so that I don't miss it.
Right.
That is literally the only thing.
Hmm. Yeah, that's interesting. Best ringtone I'd ever heard in my life was there was a softball doubleheader when we were in college, and our starting pitcher, her dad, we ran into him at the game. We were talking with him, and we didn't live too far away. And in between games, he goes, "You guys want to grab beer?" And I was like, "Yep." So we went, and we were over at our house. We had a few pops with the pops of the softball pitcher. And all of a sudden, Buck Cherry starts playing. Oh, she's a crazy bitch. He's like, oh, wife's calling. Oh, we were like, yes! Turns out we were late for his daughter's start, so we had to hustle back to the stadium.
Does she know that's the ringtone?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, she knows. She knows. And so it became a tradition. It became a tradition anytime he was in town. You know, we threw back a few
with old Buck Cherry.
With old Buck Cherry.
What? If you had your own ringtone for you on somebody else's phone, what would you want it to be?
Oh, wow. Friends in Low Places, that fits me pretty well.
Ooh,
Chuck Mangione over here.
Yeah, of course it is.
Yeah.
Of course it's
Feels
Chuck
so
Mangione.
Good, baby.
God. I feel like it'd have to be metal, right?
Yeah, yours would be like something called like the Silent Crippling Death, something like that.
Like, or like the
Bury Me Alive,
or like the either the sax solo or the guitar solo for Baker Street.
Oh, look at you!
Yeah,
why you had that holstered?
Yeah, yeah. That's my pinned tweet too on my timeline from our old walk up videos from the Trailblazers Pulse days.
Yeah, that's right.
It's been pinned there for a while.
Yeah, that was back. That was right at the beginning of when they started doing like the walk in shots of players entering the arena. All right. Well, Brett McMurphy of the Action Network, do you have your song yet? Were you Googling your songs?
No, I was looking at my Spotify.
Oh.
Just like,
what would it be? Probably
be When Darkness Falls.
Okay. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. That fitting for you. That works.
Well, kill switch.
Just real quick, one little squirrel moment.
Yep.
Oregon State Athletics has, well, not necessarily fired a shot, but trolling, put out a graphic, Oregon State football available nationwide, even on Comcast.
As they should.
Yeah. Have your fun with it.
As they should. All right. Brett McMurphy, the Action Network, he compiled a list of the most overrated and underrated college football teams based on preseason rankings. Okay. He went back to the inception of the college football playoff. The most overrated and underrated teams compared to the AP preseason rankings and the AP final rankings. Okay. Who would you think is the most overrated team in all of college football based on their preseason rankings?
My first thought was Texas.
Texas. They are top 10.
Yeah.
They are top 10. They come in at sixth on the list.
And then my team.
USC is number 2. On that list.
Yeah.
The number
they had 3 years when they were in the top 10 that they didn't finish in the top 25.
Yikes. Well, they don't hold the candle to Auburn.
Yeah.
Auburn is the most overrated team in college football over the last decade based on their preseason rankings and where they finish in the AP final poll.
They're still carrying a lot of water for Cam Newton, that era.
Yeah, well, and in there is that Gus Malzahn era where the expectations were always high. Look, to be honest,
they were good.
Bo Nix's tenure in Auburn, it was, this is the year, and it never was.
They were good, just not that good.
So the top five are Auburn at number one, USC number two, the Wisconsin Badgers, Paul Chryst era, is number three. Texas A&M is at fourth. I thought that Texas A&M would be higher, but they never were starting at a high point.
High.
They would always kind of be in that middle range of like the top 25 and always kind of live there.
11 to 16.
Yeah, and they would live there. Number five is LSU. Number six, the Texas Longhorns. Number seven, the Oregon Ducks.
Quack, quack.
Number eight, the Oklahoma Sooners.
These next two I thought would be higher.
Yeah, Miami is number 9. Florida State is number 10.
Yeah, I would have thought both those teams would have been higher.
Yeah,
I guess that's a cause of them not being up higher to begin with.
Well, and I think with both of those two teams, if you're only judging this off the preseason and the final polls, both they make sense when you think Miami and Florida State would always have a win early where Miami's back. This is Florida State's year, and then the wheels start to come off a little bit, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of the reasoning behind that. The most underrated teams in college football, I thought that this was even more fascinating than the most overrated teams in college football.
I just want to say right away.
Yeah.
Is there something that popped up to you in this group at all, first glance?
Nothing. I thought Oregon State would be on the most underrated.
But
they were not there.
It's so many cats. Wildcats, Bearcats, Tigers, Wildcats, Cougars. It's just cats.
Yeah, I didn't think about that.
I was like, why the hell are there so many cat teams up here? Do we underestimate?
There's just a lot of cat mascots. The Wildcat, I believe, is the most popular mascot in college sports.
But the only cat.
Which a Wildcat, by the way, is not a vicious cat. We should have, Cougars are way more
the
vicious.
Only cat in the top 24 of the most.
In the forest and the bar.
Overrated. There you go. Are the Tigers of both Clemson and Auburn. Otherwise, but it's like all of the underrated cats are all in.
All right.
This group. It's weird.
Now we have that. Number one Squirrel. Most underrated team in college football is Northwestern Wildcats. Number two is Cincinnati. Number three, TCU. Number four, Missouri. Number five, Kentucky. Obviously, these are not the blue blood programs that get that label stuck to them of being perennially in that top 15. Name recognition gets you in the top 15. And if you could look at both Cincinnati and TCU, those are bolstered by college football playoff runs where they literally came out of nowhere. And as you go from unranked to a top four team by the end of the year, that is going to skew your standing significantly. And Northwestern is always a team that nobody really gives a crack at being good at the beginning of the year, and they end up 9-4, 10-3, 8-5, and at the bottom of that top 25 from unranked. The same can be said about both Missouri and Kentucky over the last handful of years with Eli Drinkwitz and Mark Stoops running the show there. Of out west flavor, Arizona is at number 7 on that list. Mm-hmm.
I was surprised there were few Pac-12 teams on here.
Fresno State is 21st. Colorado is 24th, which I don't understand. They had
one year. And in that year,
I guess they would have 2 years. They would have 2 years.
That's true.
Because they had one Mel Tucker year, and then they had, oh gosh.
Who was it?
The white dude that left after when 2014.
Oh, God dang it.
And then Washington State comes in at 24th as well. We had a tie for 24th of teams that just don't get enough love.
McIntyre.
Yeah.
God, I could not remember his name.
McIntyre. Yeah.
Who went
to Florida and had that shark incident.
Yeah.
And now I believe is that Central Michigan? I think it's Central Michigan.
I think it's
Mike McIntyre.
It's one of the directional Michigans.
Yeah. Yeah. He's playing for one of them trophies that was in the running in our hotly contested best rivalry trophies.
Indeed.
They got bounced early, though. But we do have a bunch of teams that we could see falling out of those graces. Or, look, we could see, by the way, this is the problem in when you look at those overrated teams. The thing about them is they often will start pretty high, whether it's Texas, USC, Oregon, Oklahoma. They start really high, and one bad year skews you significantly in that. And each of them have had those big hiccups.
The USC, again, had three top 10s where they did not finish in the top 25, and that'll pummel you.
Your five most overrated teams based on preseason to final rankings, according to Brett McMurphy of the Action Network and what he looked up over the last decade: Auburn, USC, Wisconsin, Texas A&M, and LSU. The underrated teams: Northwestern, Cincinnati, TCU, Missouri, and the Kentucky Wildcats. All right, a lot of action has been happening, including a local guy getting outright released today. It is cut day across the NFL. Teams have to trim their rosters down to 53 or 58 now. And then you have trades, which is an odd thing to see. But we have a couple of trades that are making waves across the NFL. Danny and Dusty on the Fan. It is cut day across the NFL. This day, it's such an interesting day because you think of a lot of these moves as basically just an afterthought of what is going on in the landscape of the NFL. But the reality of it is that there's going to be 1,000 guys by the end of the day that their dream is coming to an end, right? And there's this unrest and uncertainty about what their future and what their careers all hold in front of them, because you get cut from an NFL roster, you don't know when the next time that phone is going to ring again. Mm-hmm. It could have been the last time you've ever had a helmet and cleats and gone out on the football field. And so it's always one of those days that I try to make sure we mention that this is people's like lives being turned upside down,
yeah,
which is wild to think about. But there's also a lot of guys, and I think why the conversations are so interesting about this is that there's a lot of guys that are going to get those extra shots and extra opportunities, because some really talented players that are seeing the door right
now. Yeah. Well, and also a handful of these guys too will wind up being brought back like to the practice squad.
Yep. Yep. Because, and that's one of the good things that the NFL has done, is that you can put some veterans on the practice squad now, mm-hmm, and not guys that are just hanging on, clinging for life, and you never have any... You have no inkling that you're going to play him ever.
Yeah.
But you need warm bodies, and they could only be so old back then. Well, now you can backfill it with some vets that you say, all right, somebody gets hurt, we actually can play him and be serviceable, and he can know what we're doing, and we can hit the ground running.
Absolutely.
One guy that got cut locally, this was a bit of a surprise to me, just based on, I thought people would still want to hold on to what could be. With Isaiah Hodgins, the Oregon State product, Corvallis High, he's only 25 years old. He's been in the league now for 3 seasons. And I thought Isaiah Hodgins was going to be a no-brainer as to what he would be in the NFL. He mm-hmm. would be a productive possession receiver. We saw him flash for spurts in Buffalo, and then he goes over, gets traded to the New York Giants. And today he was cut, and I was a little surprised to see his production not being as much as I thought it would be. And sometimes guys that you think of being highly touted and are explosive playmakers, the NFL is so hard because you just don't know. He was a 6th-round pick, mm-hmm, and again, he had those flashes. I remember vividly a game in Buffalo, I think it was like 2022, where he kind of went off, and he had a game where he came up with some big catches on the goal line,
yeah,
but just was never able to latch on and have everything that clicks with him. And he was just cut today by the New York Giants.
Well, and sometimes too, it's even just comes down to, you know, a guy's fit within a system. And you know, whether it's an offensive scheme or just even fit with the coaching staff.
Yep. Yeah. And it can come to an end just that quickly. Yeah. And then
go thrive somewhere else. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. He'll be interesting. He's only 25, and he's a big body guy. He's going to have opportunities, obviously. So his phone will ring at some point, and you'll get picked up. But I just thought Isaiah Hodgins was going to be a more reliable, consistent receiver in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And it just hasn't panned out that way. And that's why he was a 6th-round pick. A guy that was very highly touted. And boy, his miscues were exacerbated was Kadarius Toney, released by the Kansas City Chiefs. The no-brainer of no-brainers, where you saw him fall out of the good graces of Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, and the rest of the Chiefs offense over the course of last season. He's on the outs with the Kansas City Chiefs. And that's a guy that, like, you think about him, I don't know who's going to roll the... Somebody will.
Yeah, somebody will. But
because of the speed, mm-hmm, and just one thing you cannot teach, and maybe there they go, he is a product of the environment, and maybe he just didn't understand it. But if you are not thriving with Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, I don't know where you thrive.
Right, yeah. Well, and you know, kind of an important part of being a wide receiver is being able to catch the ball.
Yep, when you're open.
Yeah.
When you're open, especially, and staying on side.
That too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Commanders released Martavis Bryant. Heard that in your update. He hasn't played in the NFL in...
2018.
Jeez Louise, 6 seasons. He could have been the comeback story of the year in the NFL, but he was in the substance abuse program in the NFL for 6 years. Finally gets out, gets that chance. You were hoping that something would good would happen for him. Not the case with him, and that may be the end of the road for Martavis Bryant. Frank Gore Jr. Yeah. was released by the Buffalo Bills.
That was a surprise. I didn't expect to see that name.
We had 100 yards rushing over the weekend.
Yeah.
Not only that.
And you don't got running backs in Buffalo.
Yeah, so you don't have running backs, and it's not like you're just going to go find one that's going to help you all of a sudden. You know what I mean?
Going out the scrap, maybe they just feel that comfortable with Cook this year. Maybe this is the year.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And then we've had a couple of trades that have gone down in the NFL.
Head-scratching trades.
Well, the Titans pick up Ernest Jones.
That one made sense.
In a trade with the Rams.
Yeah, the Rams didn't like that Ernest Jones said something about getting traded and said, oh, you want to be gone? See you later, bye. That was quick.
They were looking for a contract. He was looking for a contract extension. He didn't hold out. He was there. Obviously wasn't happy, but the Rams get a fifth-round pick in return for Ernest Jones. And you said head-scratchers. What ones kind of scratched?
The Packers trading for Malik Willis.
Yeah, to back up Jordan Love.
We saw Malik, and it was very bad. Like, it was, I don't even think it was like, I could see him being a backup. It was really bad.
Well, he's a first-round pick, and you are bringing him in not to start, but to be somebody that can just be in the shadows behind Jordan Love.
I guess if you want somebody to run your scout who's got some athleticism.
Well, and I don't think, I think there's even a little bit more in that, and you have an offensive-minded head coach. An offensive-minded head coach always thinks, I can fix him. And is Malik Willis a better option than what you had there? Because right now, those two are the only two that you have on your on your depth chart.
I will say selfishly, I'm feeling very blessed this hour.
Yeah.
As the Raiders have released Nathan Peterman.
Thank goodness.
It's the Peterman reality tour coming to an end.
That is no longer a case. If he wants to be on the practice squad, fine. But if they would have put him on the actual 53-man roster, I would have lost my mind.
And you would have been completely
justified
in losing your mind in that moment. Seahawks, and this may be a sign of the injury to Nwosu in Seattle, they get Trevis Gibson, outside linebacker from Jacksonville, for a sixth-round pick. And they showed that Nwosu had a sprain of his MCL, knee instability, starting the season, needing depth. Seattle goes out and they get Gibson. That's not going to be one that is a game changer by any stretch of the imagination, but that deal went down yesterday. And you look at just building depth on that defense because you're going to have to lean on your defense yet again. And I think Mike McDonald, that's exactly the identity that he wants to play with in how they want to operate. I thought it was weird that Donald Parham got cut by the Los Angeles Chargers.
The other one, a team that's bereft of any kind of assets on the receiving side of things, said no to a receiving tight end.
Yeah, they got Will Dissly and Hayden Hurst. I bet Hayden Hurst is going to be the guy that they're going to rely on to be the receiving threat. Dissly's kind
but
of
also,
the
haven't
jack
both
of all trades.
Been banged up
historically, like injury history.
Having a
there.
Third tight end there seems like maybe a good idea.
Donald Parham too, though, has been a guy who's habitually hurt. And look, if you don't fit into the mold, one thing that both Dissly and Hurst will do with no exception, they'll block.
Yeah.
They'll block. Which and Harbaugh when you have Greg Roman, Jim Harbaugh, that's going to be the identity of their offense. Just didn't fit kind of schematically what they were going to do. And Parham was a really good, they have two. but Parham is a really good receiving tight end, a tall guy on the outside. In that fit more of what you were doing under Brandon Staley, especially with Kellen Moore as your offensive coordinator. This is a full-on regime change, and sometimes that's when those guys are the casualties where you go, all right, you got a solid receiving tight end there. They don't need that. Yeah. They don't want that. They need protection for Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins. Also, significant injury history on those two running backs that are going to be in your backfield.
Yeah. The other one that caught my eye was not necessarily that it was a weird or wrong. It's just kind of like, wow, okay. The Eagles released Here's a couple of guys for you. Paris Campbell, Will Greer, and John Ross. That's a pretty good little three-man 7-on-7 start.
Remember John Ross, he had a little bit of that Kadarius Toney where he was fast.
Mm-hmm, but just could not catch anything.
Catching ball. Very tough. Important as a wide receiver.
Being a straight line star can get you. It's like being 7 foot in the NBA.
Yeah.
Being 7 foot will get you there. Running a sub 4.240 in the NFL will get you on a lot of fields. But eventually they just kind of go, oh, you're his team to beat.
Oh. Remember, what was his...
Number two
what was his,
overall pick, Hashim Tabeet.
Yeah, what was... I remember his girlfriend in her Twitter account more than I remember. I think she had the Twitter handle, like the Bay Hive or something along those lines. She was a wild card on Twitter.
Yeah.
She would be calling out Terry Stotts, players. I mean, she would call everybody out during games on Twitter.
Super weird.
It's like, I wonder where she's getting this from.
Yeah. And he was here for what, 6 months?
Yeah. That was fantastic.
So
though.
Weird.
It got me a chuckle. And those were not great times either.
No. Those are the figuring things out times. So, but yeah, cut days a little bit weird.
Also,
there's some names that I did not expect to see.
Well,
for sure.
Desmond Ridder got cut today by the Arizona Cardinals.
Is that unexpected? I know he just came in the league.
That is very quick to be in and out of the league. That is very
when you
quick.
Look like that. That's kind of the same thing with like Malik. I was like, if you ask me who I think is more viable, I might say Ridder.
Yeah.
Maybe. Gun to my head, it's not a decision I want to make.
No. I wouldn't go there.
You know?
I wouldn't go there. That's about it. I mean, wow. Felipe Franks got cut by the Carolina Panthers. Remember him? He was a quarterback at Florida. Moved to tight end. Now gone. The pride of Mountain View High School, Jacob Hollister, also cut by the Carolina Panthers today as well. That sucks. Local guys, hate to see it. And he had a pop with the Patriots a couple of years ago where he looked more than viable as a tight end. And it's just so crazy how quickly it can just go to the wayside. The one thing that Hard Knocks was tracking this is going to be a Hard Knocks spoiler. Mm. Brett Rypien, not with the Bears any longer.
Oh.
Yeah.
Who'd they keep as their backup?
The guy who started, Tyson Bagent.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Which we knew that was going to happen, were they going to cover three or carry three? I bet what we'll see Brett Rypien maybe come back on the
practice
as a practice squad,
squad
as a quarterback there.
Yeah, Bagent's dad being the foremost arm wrestler on the planet, still very awkward.
But also fitting when you hear him talk and you hear interviews,
like,
you're like,
well, okay.
Yeah, that makes sense. The fact he did a mile of broad jump burpees for a mile this summer, that's psycho stuff. That workout is absolutely...
Could you imagine doing that?
No. I'd be like, I'm dying.
My shoulders would tear.
Well, now they would.
Even absolute best shape me.
That would be insanely hard to do.
Tear me apart.
Yep.
That's a different kind of human. I don't know what to do with that. That's a level of sickness I can't get to, which is where we'll go to with our next, on our worst day on the web. But first, it's Big Kahuna with Sports Center Update.
I hear they got some tasty burgers.
It's time for today's worst day on the web. With Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
That sucks.
I love a good old country hate fest.
Ooh, okay.
It's the simplest things that bring out the most hate and envy. And where can you find hate and envy over something very simple and stupid but Kentucky?
Yeah. Kentucky, West Virginia, wasn't that? Mm. We went over this. Hatfield McCoys, that's where it originated.
The Kentucky State Fair.
Oh, okay.
State fairs are a good place for controversy.
That sounds like a good party, the Kentucky State Fair. That seems like a state fair I'd want to go to.
I mean, you go to one stand moonshine, next stand something fried, next stand probably some sort of firearm, and next stand something sweet.
It sounds like a good time.
Sounds like a good state fair to me.
And then a beer garden.
Yeah. A lot of local brew, I would imagine. Maybe some local pies. because that's where the story is going to go. There's a, or I shouldn't say pie, I should say cake. A My Favorite Cake contest was won by a woman named Carrie Perry.
Oh, hey, look at that.
That feels made up.
Well, I feel like it's a fake name. She's going off the Katy Perry thing. Yeah. And maybe she makes like a pear pie or like a pear cobbler of sorts.
Or maybe a peachy Kentucky.
Oh, hey.
Mm. Get it?
Yep.
Also, she spells Carrie. How do you think she spells it? What's the most irritating way to spell it?
K-E-R-I.
Yeah, I would say that would be it.
What about K-A-R-R-I?
Oh, two
that's
R's.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Because that's how she spells
Carrie.
It. You got to roll the R's.
Roll those R's. Go Jason Swigert. Carrie.
But she
Carrie Perry.
Mm. She won the blue ribbon for her peachy Kentucky cake.
All right.
It was a peach cake with vanilla and almonds, with fresh peach jam in the center, with a Swiss meringue, buttercream frosting on the outside that was very delicately flavored. Here's the thing. She's not from Kentucky, and the local Kentuckians are mad. They're saying she's from out of state.
She's an import.
Yeah, they're saying she's from out of state. She doesn't count seats. So the rules are you need to make a layered cake. It has to be made from scratch. Recipe needs to be provided. Being an in-state resident isn't one of those rules, according to the actual contest.
Well, is it bad? I don't have a problem with this. Where's she from?
It's a good question.
Georgia? Is she coming with those sweet Georgia peaches into Kentucky and infiltrating? Like, that's an unfair advantage, maybe.
Hmm.
Yeah. Okay, well, prove where she's from first, people, and then...
Well, she says she's not from there, so...
I don't care.
They said they've had other contest winners that have been from as far as Arizona.
Oh, like, see?
But, I mean, if you're Kentucky and you're in the Kentucky State Fair... Are you thinking that this is the U.S. fair where it's open to everyone, or is this more, is it about being
I think what you're doing here is you're entering your pies like a quilt, like, you're going to a quilt competition, which I don't know if you know this. Those are things. Quilters, they take it very seriously. And so I bet you just sit there and like, I want to see how many states my pie can win in. And I think that is fair game. Because wouldn't the undisputed pie champion of the United States of America be somebody that wins in multiple states? Then you could just say, hey, I won in Kentucky, Georgia, Idaho, Oregon, Iowa. And you just go down the list and you treat this thing like it's the Electoral College. You just go down the list. How many states have you won?
Mm.
Pally. You know, sometimes
you're not going. You need a need voting rights in the state, kind of a deal.
No, because this is pie. The candidate you're voting for isn't from the state. So you're just going.
Well, it originated in your state.
Is every green what?
It originated. It was baked in your state.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
So it's from your state.
But is every ingredient from the state of Kentucky of these winning pies?
Mm. I would say that
so
America,
why should the person
we're
mixing it?
We are a melting pot.
Yeah, that's right.
So
why should the person mixing it be from that state?
Ah.
I do know that there's a lot of angry grandmas, though, in Kentucky based on this out-of-towner coming in and winning our pie bake-offs. I guess that's something we don't really have to worry about here in Oregon because, you know, California pie maker's not winning an Oregon State Fair pie competition.
You don't think so?
No. Somebody from Washington might.
I think somebody from California might. It's sheer volume.
No.
We're overwhelming.
No.
We are legion.
No.
We are many.
You don't know pie. You don't know pie. You know beaches and sand in your crack.
Sir, my last name is of actual pie. Among us, who has a pie named after them?
Yeah.
You? No?
You can't make
no?
it.
No?
You know that. You know you can't make a lemon meringue pie.
Goodness.
You know that.
Unbelievable. If you don't believe that if I had a baking contest that I wouldn't make a lemon meringue pie, you were out of your mind.
Yeah, and you wouldn't win it because you're from California. You don't know how to do that. Hey, I'm just stating facts here.
Unbelievable.
Just stating facts.
I did a different kind of baking in college.
Yeah, what'd you put in there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Some butter.
Some stuff.
Bong water.
Yeah. Okay. Jeff's got his brownies again.
No, don't touch that one, Mom.
No.
Mom's on the moon for Thanksgiving.
What do they call them? The cosmic cakes?
Uh-oh.
Good Lord. A statement has been issued. The Kentucky State Fair Culinary Division is highly competitive, and we celebrate the pride, passions, and pursuits of all exhibitors submitted this year. Somebody who wrote this went to freaking English school. There's just no way.
Yeah, they did go to English school. You like that? That's what they did.
It sounds like Danny didn't.
Uh-huh. I totally lost what I was going to say there. I wanted to say to go to school and be an English professor. God.
This guy.
Yeah, you sound like Word.
You sound like Idiocracy. Would you go English school? Why you know so much about words?
Can't say the next word.
Why you know so much words and stuff, English guy?
Think you're so smart. Oh, the alliteration. That's what I was trying to get to there. My God. Yeah. Let's pick this back up.
Yeah.
With the notoriety of this class, we will welcome those around the region to compete for the coveted blue ribbon. This year, let's just say the proof was in the filling.
Yay! Ooh!
I hate this person. That's punny.
They're good. That's folksy right there. That's folksy. You put in enough words to where people that don't understand what you're talking about will just be like, I can't read this. I'm done. And then you throw in a little jab at the end to make the one who actually won the pie competition, Carrie Perry, happy.
They have also clarified in regional fairs next door, Ohio and Indiana state fairs require contestants to live in state.
Oh, see? Mm. Hey, them's the rules. Carrie Perry ain't going to Indiana or Ohio to win their competitions. You got to stick to Kentucky. I bet you she knew that, too. Like, she goes through the bylaws and is like, I got
where
this.
Where can I exploit this?
I got this. Yeah.
Because it's actually not that good.
You know, I welcome Carrie Perry and her, whatever the name of that peach pie was. I welcome her with open arms because that sounds like a delicious pie. I love pie.
What's your favorite pie?
That's a tough question. That's a really tough question. Banana cream pie.
Yep.
Banana cream pie is amazing.
I'd probably go with like a chocolate cream pie.
I like banana cream pie. I'm a fan of a good strawberry pie.
Mm.
Key lime.
Yeah.
Cherry pie. I'm a fan of cherry pie as well.
It's the only time.
So is Jenny Lane. It's the lead singer of Warrant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know.
He's just staring at you because you know what you did.
You know exactly what you did. And you had to explain your joke to some people who were like, maybe they didn't know that.
Well, you were kind of looking at me that way.
Well, look, she's my cherry pie, all right? Yeah, I know. Damn you. Warrant.
What are we supposed to do with this?
Speaking of state fairs, they're probably playing at a state fair this week.
Unbelievable.
Yep.
This is what we do. All right, coming up next, a quick little pivot to college football. The picks are starting to come in, and there's a couple of upsets, I think, outside of the Big Ten and the SEC.
All right.
Okay, that was decent producing.
Now, they say cool drink of water. I mean, would it be that much different if they said, you know, cool bowl of ice cream? Shit, cool bowl of ice cream with that cherry pie.
Yeah.
Pie a la mode is the way to go, especially the Marionberry pie coming in on the Vancouver Vortex line. Elite.
Yes.
Marionberry pie elite.
Yes.
Elite pie.
I'm not out on Marionberry.
Go back to California.
It's overrated.
Go back to California with your Marionberry takes. See, this is why they can't make good pies, Russ.
There's literally
this
a Marionberry farm 10 blocks from my house. Had to go further blocks.
Yeah, okay.
On the other side of the river. That's all farmland. It's
Marionberry pie is delicious.
It is good because what is it? Is Marionberry more acidic? Is that what it is? It cuts through a little bit different.
Sure.
I think that's what it is.
Marionberry syrup is great as well. Mm-hmm. Like, you go in, a little Marionberry syrup when you go to Elmer's, put those on your cakes. Yeah. Oh, buddy, yeah. You could take that maple back to Canada.
I like a little bit, little of that sweet.
Marionberry syrup is
very regional.
Amazing.
Very regional.
Amazing. And this sounds good, too. Strawberry rhubarb custard pie with crumble top.
Oh,
God.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things going on there. I feel like rhubarb is like the only time it's ever good.
Yeah.
It's like, you don't ever hear rhubarb being used in anything else.
Mm-mm. Because it's bitter.
I had never actually seen a rhubarb until probably like 2 or 3 years ago at the grocery store.
Doesn't it look like a red celery or something?
Yeah.
It looks terrifying.
I was like, what the hell is that? And then I was like, oh.
Yeah.
You ever been to a grocery store and had an idea of what something looked like and you saw it for the first time and you're just like, what?
Yeah, when I was a kid, that was kiwis for me.
Little fuzzy.
Yeah.
I had
kiwis like
defuzzed.
But they'd been peeled. Yeah. And I was like, they were like, my mom's like, get some kiwis. I was like,
that's not kiwi.
I don't know where it's at.
Yeah, I didn't expect to see those little fuzzy balls.
Nope.
Yep.
Nope.
Make sure we're clear there. What's the one from dragon fruit? That thing.
Yeah, looks
crazy.
It doesn't look like a dragon.
No.
It's lies.
You're right, Jeff. It does not look like an actual dragon.
Hey, star fruit looks like a star.
He's not wrong.
All right.
Am I asking too much here?
Yes.
Probably.
Does it look like a dragon's egg, maybe?
I thought you were going to say something else first.
Look.
Yo, come on.
I'm with
the
Jeff
way today
dude.
Has been
the,
going.
Well, I mean, definitely started to sound like something else. And I was like, oh, God.
Can't take you guys anywhere.
Us, you.
Not me.
You, definitely you.
Totally fine.
All right. Well, speaking of somebody else, Ross Dellinger of Yahoo Sports, a quick little pivot here. We're still sticking with Yahoo.
Yeah.
Is the report from the NCAA is out of what they are hoping to do to change college football again already, and that is to limit the transfer windows.
Yup. They're going to get sued for this. So they want to go from having a winter and a spring portal window to just having one that is a 30-day period where players at the end of the season could say, I'm unhappy, I want to leave. They want to cut down on – there is value, and there's a lot of value in struggling when you are at a place.
Mm-hmm.
What they want to do is cut down the, well, I'm not going to be a starter, so I want to leave.
Yeah.
And – coaches around college football are saying that spring window, you are hurting kids, and kids are hurting themselves by having that portal window and being like, dude, just see your way through it, grind your way through it, and you'll come out the other side a better player. There is a ton of value in that.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of guys are just saying, nope, out. We've seen a lot of players around. How many guys have you heard of who, when they're in the NFL or they're in the NBA, and they say, you know, it was hard when I wasn't the guy anymore,
yeah,
when I wasn't the star, and I had to reset and restart, and I had to face some challenges when I wasn't the best anymore. And I came out the other side, and when I got done, it took me 2 years, but I got on the field finally. What you're seeing now is a lot of guys will go through that first year in college. They'll go through spring ball and be like, oh, I'm still not a starter. Bye. I'm gone. And I do agree that, all right, give them the window, give them the portal, but do it if you're unhappy, right?
Yes.
Do it if you're unhappy. And that is, have that one time, you know, if you're unhappy or not within the first 2 weeks that you're on campus, you'd be like, yep, not for me. They lied to me. You know, they're going to get sued and they're going to lose.
Yeah.
This.
You may get a year of this. And the other part of this is coaches want this. They just want the one window because it's simpler. It's easier. It's less management. But here's the thing. Once you opened up this box of NIL and new era and everything else that comes along with it, the NCAA and whatever institution comes around as some sort of governing body for the top 60 schools in the country, they are going to get their ass handed to them so many times between now and then in lawsuits that they are not going to be able to put constraints around anything outside of what is absolutely specifically detailed and outlined by those.
Well, and there's a lot of states that no compete clauses don't hold up in them. Now that you are paying college athletes. They are going to be considered employees very shortly. Yes. Essentially, what you're doing is putting a no compete on them. And that will
federally, they're no longer a thing. Remember
that will be a thing where you sit there and you go state to state. We saw it with NIL. NIL, it was, you had these states saying, no, we're not paying guys. And then they started seeing that they were losing recruiting battles because of it. And they were like, okay, yeah, we're going to be all in on NIL. If you have certain states that are like, no, you know, we'll allow a no compete on a, essentially, it would, this would be a quote unquote no compete. Every state is going to acknowledge it because kids aren't going to go there if they don't have a way out. You'll start losing recruiting battles because of it. They're going to get sued. They're going to lose in this. And we will have some windows. Until you have a league that is collectively bargained. And that's why the NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball can have these windows of free agency, windows of trades. It's because they've been collectively bargained between the players and the league. Until that happens, it's going to be the free-for-all.
And they're gonna
and get, it may get worse before it gets better back to one window.
And you're going to get sued and sued and sued. And it's not just this. It's everything. And that's where, I don't know if you've been paying attention to this, that there's been the, what is it, Dartmouth Athletics was one of the first to unionize. And they're now suing. The local SEIU is now suing Dartmouth over what they called it, unfair labor practices. And that is probably going to set a precedent for the general framework that you're going to see for a CBA in college sports.
Yeah, but Dartmouth and the Ivy League are so different.
They are different. But
because you they're non-scholarship.
No.
They're just players.
But they have used their frameworks for the breakouts that they've done in basically everything else.
I take very little credence to what the Ivy League does because they can, you and a lawyer will treat it, be like, they're on a different planet. They're an Ivy League school. These aren't scholarship players. Their binding agreements have so many outs in them that it's ridiculous because they're not scholarshiped. And their NIL is not anywhere comparable to another institution. You have to separate those, right? And so now Northwestern is a different example. Northwestern, if they get their full union, then now we're talking, and that's a completely different animal because they offer scholarships, they get big NIL, they have a seat at the big boys table, and that could really be the big changer. But hey, the right lawyer, a good lawyer, sure as hell they can win that one. Absolutely.
It's going to be interesting. So just something to kind of keep a little track of is one case after another, after another, after another continues to pummel the NCAA and punch them in the face.
Again and again.
To say that I enjoy this is an understatement.
Yes, it is.
All right, coming up next, we are continuing our College Football Rivalry Trophy bracket breakdown as we have 16 teams in the 16th round of 16. We will go through all eight matchups.
Did you go to English school?
And went to English school. We'll get to that and some more English lessons coming up here in hour number 3 on Danny and Dusty, 1080 The Fan.
Didn't expect to see those little fuzzy balls.